here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mott, joined by Mr. What are you? What's your name again? Brett Podcast?
Mr. Brett Podcast.
Is that it?
That's right.
Mr.
That's
Brett Podcast. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yep.
Brett, we got a good one today. I'm looking forward to this. How about
that's
yourself?
For sure. He's a gentleman that we've been listening to his albums for a long time now, and there's so many of them, and we're super happy that he's managed to take time out of his recording schedule to talk to us, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be right back in this in the studio after this. But he is Alessandro
Del Vecchio. I think he's in the studio now.
Yeah. And
studio now. I mean, you can see my guitar. I was actually writing and recording today, so yeah, I'm in the studio actually.
Well, Alessandro, welcome to the show, and you're here to talk about the new Sunstorm album, which is wonderful when Ronnie Romero's on that. So awesome stuff. So, and just so happy to have you on. I mean, you've produced so many of our and being on so many of our favorite new albums. It's wonderful to have you on.
So the first question is, when do you sleep?
Well, you know, it's funny because I get this question a lot. Well, first of all, I have a very healthy life. I'm kind of structured, but not. I live in chaos, but I like to be structured. But I don't like to, you know, to live, you know, between walls. So if it takes more time, I take more time. But I sleep regularly, like six, seven hours a night. And I do lots of things. I write, I produce, I teach, I do sports, I run marathons. So I gotta say I'm probably hyperactive, and there's something that's weird about me, because I'm always like, I always have energy to do things. So and I love and I enjoy making music. I mean, making music is some people say it can either be second nature, but to me it's first nature. It's my own skin. It's me. If you make me write a song or work on an album, that's my natural element. So I mean, everything becomes easy when it's music, because I just have to put my heart into it. So there's always time to do something like that.
Is there a difference between all the projects that you do, like for your mindset, just kind of getting into, like in this case it's Sunstorm? I mean, I know that you're working right now with Edge of Forever, so like, is there a different mindset that you kind of have to be in for each of the projects?
Well, obviously yes, because you know, with the amount of albums that I work on and that I write for and produce, I don't want to run the risk of writing and at the end create something that's kind of similar and it doesn't stick to the trademark of every project. So I have to, like, okay, now I'm in hardline mode. I'm in Sunstorm mode. I'm in Edge of Forever mode. And usually I differentiate the timings. Like, I'm writing for the new Edge of Forever album, and I'm just, you know, I'm 90% writing only for Edge of Forever, because I can jump from an album to another, but I don't want to run the risk of, you know, writing a song for Edge of Forever that sounds like Hardline, or, you know, vice versa, because I want to keep the trademark there. I'm the writer in all situations, but I want to kind of separate the brands and the sounds.
So do you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write a Sunstorm record, or do you have songs that you come to you that you put aside and say, that sounds like that Sunstorm, and that sounds like that's Hardline, and that sounds like, and then come back to them?
Well, I wish I could do that, because I would probably have more songs to go to. But no, I'm writing. I don't know how it happens, but you know, I wish I had a drawer full of songs. You know, like, oh, this could be perfect for. No, because it doesn't put me in emergency mode. I like to be, you know, a creation for me doesn't come out of ease. It comes out of struggling to get to the best song. So it's not like I write an album and it sits there for 2 years and then, you know, oh, okay, this could be good for. I'm writing with an urgency to write for something. I'm not writing just a song. I'm writing for the best song that I can give to an artist. It's not just, obviously a good song is a good song, but it doesn't, I'm not that kind of songwriter. I need to be stressed. I need to be pushed by, you know, by writing for something.
So you're not running that marathon last year and like having to like be stop in the middle and be like, ooh, I have a great song idea. Hold on, let me just mark that.
Well, the marathon is so painful physically that music, while I was training, some days I was playing music in my ears, but during the whole marathon, I had podcasts in my ears. Because, I mean, it's so painful that maybe I could write about that experience, but not during the experience. It's just too painful.
Now, when it comes to... I was just going to ask, when it comes to the new Sunstorm album, like how long then does it take you to kind of write all the songs for that and then kind of package that one up in your mind?
So I think this album, but also the other two albums that we did for Sunstorm took, you know, around 3 months to get to a point where we knew that we had the songs. It generally starts with Simone and I writing the bigger chunk of the songs we need. Simone, unfortunately, is not like me. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to write 5 songs and maybe it's 6, but it's never like I write 5 songs. Oh, let's write the whole album. But I will push him to do that. But we write the first chunk with him and it takes, you know, going back and forth with ideas like a month. And then and for this album, it was 6 songs. Then I knew that we needed 5 more songs and I wrote some on my own. And then I was like, you know, touching base with Soren Kronqvist, who's been writing for Sunstorm for all albums since the start. And I was touching base like, we're working on a new Sunstorm. Do you maybe want to write something, that's good for Sunstorm? So, and that process took, you know, around 2-3 months.
So is there any song on the album which caused you the most stress then to write? It's most difficult?
That's a good question. No, it was very natural. Here For You Tonight was the one that I wanted to have like a classic rainbow, you know, almost like I Surrender kind of song. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, you know, to write a song like that, it would take a great song. So... that song I wrote it with Ian Akeson from Sweden, and we were like going back and forth with melody ideas in order to be sure that the song was right. But all the other song, like Lost Forever, was, I mean, it took probably 1 hour to write. That was the most natural song. Afterlife took a little bit because of all the arrangements and the solos. It took me more to record and create and arrange that keyboard solo than all the other keyboard parts in the album. Because obviously, I mean, you can shred and it's going to be good anyway. And if you're, you know, a virtuoso in some capacity, you just go fast and play something. It's going to sound good. But I wanted to create, you know, that sort of Don Airey, Tony Carey, David Stone, David Rosenthal keyboard approach, like, I don't know, Eyes of the World, or, I mean, Spotlight Kid. I mean, those kind of keyboard parts where it's all, you know, coming from different angles And to do that, obviously, it's not like you just sit down and you write something. And but the album was very, very natural to write.
My second favorite song on the album is Darkest Night. Yeah. My favorite is One Step Closer. I think One Step Closer is pretty much a perfect melodic rock song that you've written.
Yeah, I wrote that song with Ulrich Kronqvist and Pete Adelborg. And Soren Kronqvist. And obviously, I mean, Soren has been writing for Sandstorm a lot. And Soren and I have been writing, I don't know, maybe 30 songs during the years, so we know each other very well. And that song had an original melody for the chorus from Ulrich, but it was only, you know, I only had the hook from him, like one step closer to heaven. I think it was, you know, something very close to what we had at the end, but no lyrics, and the other melody had to be, you know, taken from, you know, the original idea and shaped into something. But it was almost there on the finish line to be a single, and I think it's one of the stronger songs on the album for sure.
Yeah, very, very good song.
Yeah.
Now, when you're writing, like in cases like this, do you think about Ronnie's voice and just what it will do, or do you just kind of trust that it will do what it needs to do?
Well, I trust the personnel. So with a singer like Ronnie, you know that, I mean, if the song is, if you write a great song, he's going to make it fantastic. It's going to make it even better because, you know, when you were working with a singer in that league, you know, it's going to be better. So, I mean, my responsibility was to just give him, you know, the perfect blueprint to then get him to evolve the songs into monsters. But no, I didn't worry because, I mean, he's got the range, power, tone, delivery, and he's such a great professional. So, yeah, I had no worries at all.
I mean, and you've worked with so many amazing singers. Like, is there, you know, like, what's it like kind of hopping between all the singers? I mean, we know Jorn, he's such an amazing singer and great guy. Jeff Scott Soto, I mean, one of such a great, amazing, fun guy, you know, and now Ronnie, Jolyn Turner, I mean, just so many guys that you've worked with. Like, what's kind of what separates them, but at the same time, what is the commonality as a great singer?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, the you know, obviously they're all different because of the tone, because even if you have, I don't know, in Johnny's case, you have Freddie Mercury. And you got the Dio element between Jeff, Jorn, and Ronnie. And Jolyn has that Lou Gramm, Glenn Hughesy, funk soul feel. So I guess the common link between, you know, great singers is always that they're not singing for themselves. They're not in love with their voice while they're singing songs, but they're in love with the songs. So they're trying to, they're always pushing to perform the song, because that's what it's all about. I mean, we can argue for ages if it's, you know, if it's the singer and not the song, and if it's the song and not the singer. It's but in my opinion, if you pair a great singer with a great song, the responsibility is even tougher for the singer. And that separates a good singer from a great singer. Because, I mean, if you hear, I mean, can we, it's impossible to think about a vocal performance from Johnny Gioeli, Jeff Cozzoro, Jorn, Ronnie Romero. That's not amazing. Because that's the reason why they're there, mm-hmm. and somebody else is not. Because, I mean, they know how to deliver great vocals over great songs. And that's the common link. And obviously, I mean, and then they all have their angles and their trademarks and their little aspects that make them unique. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the crazy thing is that they're all very natural. Like Jorn, he can jump in the studio and, you know, everything he sings is just freaking phenomenal. Sometimes I'm like, how can this be possible? I feel very grateful, but at the same time, I'm like overwhelmed by the fact that, you know, there's a reason why these guys are great, because they, you know, they're so natural in doing what they do. And Jolene is the same. It's like 65, 6, I don't know. But it's like, it's old, let's say that. But still, going in the studio, kicking ass with a great tone and a great delivery and passion. And that separates from, I guess, that confidence you hear. It's the big difference between the greats up there, the Champions League of singers, and all the other guys.
So then when you're singing, like, how much of these lessons, like, have you taken to help make you a better singer?
Well, it's tough. It's tough to answer because it's obviously for me, you know, I don't know any other, you know, probably Eric Martinson and Desmond Child have, you know, the same luxury of being singers and work and write and be in the studio and experience the singers you're looking up to. Like, I would be lying saying, it's me and it's only me. It's not like that. I mean, every time I do a session with these guys, I'm like, oh man, I gotta be, you know, kicking their ass. I mean, it's for a guy like me, it's not intimidating. It gives me more like a push, like going, oh, I gotta do better. I still have to do better, but it's a great lesson because you touch the secret of, you know, of these guys, and it's I'm, you know, sometimes people go like, how is it to work with your? It's freaking paradise. Because, I mean, it's fun, it's great, it's creation, and it's got, you know, a great voice, and you can only learn from that. And you might not know, but I'm a trained and certified vocal coach that gave me the possibility to be able to produce guys like that and talk the singer's language and be able to produce all these great singers. But also gives me, you know, the lenses and the x-rays to, you know, to be with these guys and go like, I can steal that. I can do that. So it's an amazing experience every time.
Yeah, it must be, and I know we're almost out of time with you here, but it must be amazing to like, I think, know what kind of training that you need to make yourself even more successful. So how much of you is training versus learning on the job?
Hopefully my students don't hear that, but to me, nothing beats being in the moment. The training is, you know, training is always training, but training is probably 5% of the whole thing. The whole process is being there in the moment, learning by mistakes, learning by trying, learning by finding your own way. That's how I learned producing, mixing. I didn't take any course. I mean, we didn't even have in Italy courses to study. I mean, it's not like in Canada or America where you have universities and you can be a sound engineer at the university. It's not like that over here. We didn't even have private schools. We didn't even have the producers that had that kind of sound. I was like, how can I find the Italian Mike Shipley? We didn't have that. So I had to come up with ideas by trying and by failing to, you know, find my way through. And I didn't want to be a producer. I had to be a producer because I couldn't find a producer. So I had to I was left here alone in Italy, in the land of non-rock and roll, trying to learn the secrets just by listening to the records and trying to emulate that when there was no internet, no anything. So, you know, practice is, you know, and being, you know, in the field all day, it's the whole game.
Wow. Well, Alessandro, I know that we could talk to you for hours and hours,
yes.
and I am so sorry that we have to let you go right now.
This went so fast.
Yeah.
This was so fast and so much fun. Thank you so much, sir. We want you get the chance now to tell everybody where they can buy Sunstorm and keep up with everything on that you do.
Yeah, we finally have the U.S. store that's serving North America with Frontiers. So if you go on frontiers.it, you will find the U.S. store. So it's much easier and much more convenient now to buy our records in North America. It was long overdue, but, it takes years to do stores like that. So the new Sunstorm is going to be there, and it's going to be everywhere. You can find it on streaming and downloading. Either is Amazon or Apple Music or Spotify. We have limited edition colored vinyls that are very beautiful, that everybody should have one in the house. It's a great cover. It looks great. I mean, it's colored and the cover is great. And if you follow my social medias, I'm very vocal about what I do with fun. I don't take myself too seriously, so it's I always try to keep it fun and positive. And it's been a great pleasure to talk to you guys. We got to do more.
Yes,
yeah.
We do. We got a million more questions for you. So
yeah, I hope we can we can do more. In the near future, there's going to be lots of albums coming out with me. So I know that there's going to be more occasions
awesome.
To do this.
Well, thank you so much, awesome. Alessandro. All the best. And, everybody should listen to the new Sunstorm album, Afterlife. It's wonderful, wonderful music. And you're just such a talent. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your words, and I'm very grateful for the interview and your support.
Oh, well, thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah,
thank you
very much. Ciao, and have a great day.
You too.
Ciao, Brett.
Bye now.
Brett.